Well, good evening. It's lovely to be back. It was a good trip. It was a very small session, 7 people every day, and about 15 more coming and going in dribs and drabs. So it was typical of New Mexico. People have to go quite a long way from town just to get up to Hokoji. And it snowed a couple of days. The first few days it was pouring down snow, which was beautiful, spring snow that just stuck on everything. So nice. And there was a class of about 30 kids who, from a religion class at the university there, who all came and crowded into this tiny zendo and asked a million questions about Buddha and our practice. They'd studied Vajrayana and Vipassana, a lot of the different flavors, but they hadn't studied Zen yet, so they were very curious about Zen and had a hard time understanding it, I think, because it's so simple, so plain. And then somebody knew that it wasn't only a full moon on Thursday, but she knew exactly when it was really full. There is just one moment when it's completely, the sun is shining on every last little inch of this side of the moon. And then it immediately begins to fade. And so it's only one moment that it's full. And it can be figured out. And the Tibetans know this and sit during that time. It's supposed to be very, very auspicious. So she sat and then came and joined us, and we did the precept ceremony from beginning to end, just in the middle of the afternoon, because that's when it was full moon somewhere. And then at the end we had Buddha's birthday party. We had a ceremony. We set it up outside because by that time the trees were turning green and the birds had come up and it was beautiful and warm and lovely. So we just set a little altar outside in the patio and put some flowers on it and the baby Buddha and the sweet tea in a kind of bucket, and got to dip it and pour sweet tea on the baby. And remember that it was also Easter and Passover that were all happening on the same day, which made it seem rare. It doesn't usually coincide quite that much. It's always around the same, but this is the same day. So it was small and simple, but there was a lot going on. Mostly sitting. It's an incredible practice. There's a man there who had come for the last, I don't know how many years, and he would come for 2 or 3 days and then slip away again. And he stayed the whole time this time. It was so nice just to be a part of that. He lives on the Navajo reservation, way, way out somewhere, and it's a long way for him to come. It's a great group of people. So anyway, we've got a couple of how I've marked this. I confess I've just looked at this over supper. It's been hard getting back home again. I've got so many things suddenly coming. But let's try the next couple of paragraphs, the next three paragraphs, and then see if that's enough. Starting with, on page 158, with "Know that eastern mountains travel on water." Somebody like to read? Thank you, Britt.
"Know that eastern mountains travel on water is the bones and marrow of the Buddha ancestors. All waters appear at the foot of the eastern mountains. Accordingly, all mountains ride on clouds and walk in the sky. All mountains are the tops of the heads of all waters. Walking beyond and walking within are both done on water. All mountains walk with their toes on waters and make them splash. Thus, in walking, there are 7 vertical paths and 8 horizontal paths. This is practice realization. Water is neither strong nor weak, neither wet nor dry, neither moving nor still, neither cold nor hot, neither existent nor non-existent, neither deluded nor enlightened. When water solidifies, it is harder than a diamond. Who can crack it? When water melts, it is softer than milk. Who can destroy it? Do not doubt that these are the characteristics water manifests. Reflect on the moment when you see water of the 10 directions as water of the 10 directions. This is not merely studying the moment when human and heavenly beings see water. This is studying the moment when water sees water. Because water practices and realizes water. Water expresses water. Actualize the path where self encounters self. Go forward and backward, leaping beyond the vital path where other fathoms other."
Okay. Let's stop there and see what happens. Well, having just come from the mountains, this makes a lot more sense to me. The mountains had clouds on their heads some of the time. There's some very tall peaks that you can just see. It's not the immediate crowd of mountains around Hokoji, but beyond it are much higher peaks that always have snow until the very last warmest days, and they were really full of snow at this point, and very, like children draw them, very sharp peaks. And to see them with their heads in the clouds, and then, of course, their feet in the water. The water comes from the mountains. It comes from the melting snow and the ice. Every river has its source in the mountains. So it's not just a metaphor, it's the real truth of it, that mountains are sort of the birthplace of water and have their feet in water and splash. He's so charming. So to call this practice realization, walking beyond and walking within are both done on water. So it's practicing the inside and practicing the outside is realization. It can't be confined one way or the other. It's both. And water is our most crucial it's not really an element, it's two elements that come together to make up most of our body, and is what keeps us alive. So water as itself isn't just an idea. If we say, oh, water exists, that's just an idea. Water is water. And then we give it a name. And we say it is or it's not, or it's hot or it's cold, just like everything else. But if we're careful, we have to see that it just what it is what it is. And sometimes water is frozen, and sometimes it's soft as milk. It's still water. And we too, sometimes we are frozen, and sometimes we are soft as milk. That the study of the self is the study of how this is constantly changing according to the causes and conditions of life. And yet, it is. We can say it's myself. It is the self. And it's the self of every day, and it's also the self of all days, the self of the self. So although this is kind of convoluted language, it's really nature. Our nature and all nature, without pinning it down, but trying to open it up so that we can not take anything for granted and see how alive it is. Even the mountains are alive. The rocks. So when water practices and realizes water, what it expresses is water. Actualize the path where self encounters self. Be there to encounter self. To actualize is to actually be there, be here, not somewhere else, not full of ideas, but to actually be here. Go forward and backward, leaping beyond the vital path where other fathoms other. So there's a place where other meeting other, the whole thing disappears. So we know that in our most intimate moments with someone else. There's one and another, but when they're eyes meet and their hearts meet, there's nobody there. Just affection, you could say. Just wisdom and compassion, willingness, acceptance. But the personness is gone. Unnecessary. And in that kind of meeting, we realize how superficial the personness is. That's why the Diamond Sutra says no person, no soul, no self, no blah, 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 because there are moments in our life when there are none. And the truth is there never is any. It's just that our experience is limited. So what shall we do? Shall we go on? The next one is long. Or is there something more to say about this? Are there questions?
I just wondered, it refers specifically to the eastern mountains, and I was thinking the Japanese islands and the Pacific islands are like, I mean, the land rising above the sea and the mountains, so everything to the east of that.
Yes. Yeah. You're right. Yes.
The numbers that are in this sutra, but where is it? Lost. 7 vertical paths, 8 horizontal paths. What is that referring to?
I don't know, Wendy. I'm not sure that's anything but his way of expressing how there is, we're both horizontal and vertical. Everything is both horizontal and vertical. So as we go this way, we're also going this way. You know, it's how it works, how action works in the world, horizontally and vertically. But I'll look it up, because they may have a, it doesn't say there's a, he's got a whole glossary in the back, so I'll look it up and see what it says.
Tanahashi
does. Yes.
Well, I have to look too.
Oh, look it
so
up.
Between us, I might remember.
You might. Let's try. Well, let's read the next bit down to the next horizontal line.
Okay. Not all beings see mountains and water in the same way. Some beings see water as a jeweled ornament, but they do not regard jeweled ornaments as water. What in the human realm corresponds to their water, we only see their jeweled ornaments as water. Some beings see water as wondrous blossoms, but they do not use blossoms as water. Hungry ghosts see water as raging fire or pus and blood. Dragons and fish see water as a palace or a pavilion. Some beings see water as the 7 treasures or a wish-granting jewel. Some beings see water as a forest or a wall. Some see it as the Dharma nature of pure liberation, the true human body, or the form of the body and the essence of mind. Human beings see water as water. Water is seen as dead or alive, depending on the seer's causes and conditions. Thus the views of all beings are not the same. Question this matter now. Are there many ways to see one thing, or is it a mistake to see many forms as one thing? Pursue this beyond the limit of pursuit. Accordingly, endeavors and practice realization of the way are not limited to one or two kinds. The thoroughly actualized realm has 1,000 kinds and 10,000 ways. When we think about the meaning of this, it seems that there is water for various beings, but there is no original water. There is no water common to all types of beings. But water for these various kinds of beings does not depend on mind or body, does not arise from actions, does not depend on self or other. Water's freedom depends only on water. In this way, water is not just earth, water, fire, wind, space, or consciousness. Water is not blue, yellow, red, white, or black. Water is not form, sound, smell, taste, touch, or mind. But water as earth, water, fire, wind, and space actualizes itself. This being so, it is difficult to say who has created this land and palace right now, or how things have been created. To say that the world is resting on the wheel of space or on the wheel of wind is not the truth of the self or the truth of others. Such a statement is based only on a small view of assumptions. People speak this way because they think that it is impossible for things to exist without having a place to rest.
There are many places where he goes through and uses the ocean, the one I remember the best, as a palace for the ocean people, the fish, and an empty space for someone in a boat in the middle of the ocean is just nothing, and how so many different ways that what we see can be interpreted, and what it means depending on who you are. And that's true for everything that we encounter. And so our judgments about what we see and what we think we know are, as he says, very limited, because we can't grasp how big it is and how many different ways there are to identify anything. And identify means to dent his finger, you point to something. So if we point to the bottle, as Thich Nhat Hanh says, we can trace it all the way back to its beginning as silicate in a mountain. But of course, before that, it was another kind of rock, deeper, that came up and became silicate in the heat. And then it was dug out and melted down and created into a bottle, and then the bottle went blah, blah, blah. So from the bottle's point of view, it's many different things. And from our understanding of the bottle, if we think about it, it's very many different ways, things, beings. And yet it's just a bottle. So if we use our mind with care and some imagination, everything is this way. Our clothes, our houses, and our bodies, ourselves. So complex, going back so far, tracing ourselves and our own genetics all the way back, you know, that it's not just us, it's where we came from and where they came from and where they came from. And it's all informed in us. And if we have progeny, then it's being informed from us farther, more. And those too, it's inconceivable, all the different causes and conditions that go into each child, each person. So it looks like there's no original water. It's just all these different, there's no water common to all types of being. There's nothing that's, it's just all these differences all floating around. But he says, water of these various kinds of beings does not depend on mind or body and doesn't arise from actions. Doesn't depend on self or other. Water's freedom depends only on water. The self really depends only on self. And that's why he says there's no place to rest. Yeah. It's just the self being the self with the self. And as it says in the Diamond Sutra, that's kind of unnerving to think of it that way. But if we consider how we live, it does seem to make sense. Jeffrey?
You opening remarks this evening about coming from the mountains where it snowed. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's wet up in your mountains right now, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed.
it seems like the last several times we've met, I'm reading Dogen Zenji. I've really been pulled by this aspect of our literature and our practice, that it draws us into such an appreciation for vastness, for an appreciation of vastness that seems to terrify some.
Yeah.
At how our sitting practice kind of loosens us up. Mm. And allows us not to be so self-absorbed with our small cocoons, but gives us a kind of welcoming place to something much larger.
Yes.
And I'm every time we've sat down with Dogen these last three or four times, I've just really been pulled by that appreciation for, I guess, the Japanese, the Tibetans, the Koreans who had those opportunities to be up in those mountains, and that mm-hmm. sense of space that they sensed after their practice and their realization. Because I keep hearing it again and again and again.
Yeah.
And for myself, I know from my own practice, that it's really helpful. Tells me that the small little world I'm frequently knocking myself into is just one of the worlds mm-hmm. that's out there. There's something much, much greater, something much vaster.
Yeah.
You know. Tonight we read it.
Yeah. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's exactly it. And the mountains, it's almost impossible not to have that feeling when you go up high and look out. It just, you feel so small, you're enveloped by the power and the beauty of it. And I think the beauty has something to do with it as well as the spaciousness. It's not just big and maybe scary, but there's something very touching about it also, touching about the awesome beauty of it that's way beyond us. Mm-hmm. And then that points to what's really way beyond us. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Ron?
This last sentence in the second to the last paragraph. Interesting. But water as earth, water, fire, wind, and space actualizes itself. This is such a mess. Well, it makes me, on one hand, think, oh, okay, I'll just meditate on it. But then I kind of wonder about the translation or the punctuation. But it probably doesn't matter, you know. Because, but it is connecting all of these things that have similarities, even water as water, okay, and then earth, okay. But then we bring in fire and space all actualizing themselves. But, you know, maybe if we put a pause after the water, just like Earth, I don't know. It's hard to know. But that is quite a metaphor.
There's no comma after water.
I know, not in this text.
Well, I mean, there shouldn't be, because the meaning of it is the water as earth, water, fire, wind, and space. Earth, water, fire, wind, and space are the what used to be called the elements.
Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I didn't know space was elements.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
It is. It is.
Yeah, okay.
So.
That
yes. So water, in other words, is every element.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the four, which is our the Greek or something.
Yeah, but
wood maybe.
But this is Chinese and Japanese.
Yeah. I didn't know space was considered an element. It's earth, water, fire, sort of make those look right. Well, that's interesting. So in that context, it sort of comes to mind. They can do it, yeah. I think it's something you analyze it too much.
Yeah, don't make yourself crazy over it.
It gets
yes. This being so, it is difficult to say who has created this land and palace right now, or how such things have been created. I think that's so interesting, and I don't think he said that anywhere else. Usually in Buddhism, we don't talk about where we come from. We just talk about where we are. I think that's very interesting.
Some Christian must have been talking to him.
I don't think they knew any Christians back then. But they probably knew, you know, Shinto has gods who made the world and people. So he probably was addressing that in some way.
It's kind of nice to hear, though, you know.
Yeah, it's refreshing. Well, it's 8:00.